the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world. With the right leadership.
I'll make a recording of my formulae for the Senator, in case I don't return this time. If only I won't be too late.
Go take a run and jump.
My patience begins. I'm here to meet your fate.
He's right.
Then one iron club blow sends the first guard
sprawling. Try my new electro stun ray. Hold tight, Happy. I'm on my way.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
Good evening, everyone. It is 5 p.m. on the East Coast. Welcome again to the What Are You Reading comic book show. I am your host, The Surfer. And I'm coming to you live here on Rant EM Radio as part of a doubleheader weekend. Because after this show, starting at 7 p.m., will be the WWE pre-show for Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. And there will also be a post-show at 11-ish, depending on how long the show goes. So, you want to stick around for that, but right now, you want to listen to this show as we talk comic books. But even better than you listening, you can call in. If you got Skype, you can add me on Skype at SilverSurfer_Forever. And this show is on Rant EM Radio Live. You can go in the chat room. We're also on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher. Blog Talk. I gotta update that soon, but so there's many ways you can listen to this show on the download, and of course appreciate you listening. And so what are we going to talk about first? Box office numbers, because there are some relevant box office numbers. And for a second week in a row, Moana is the number one movie. Brought in another $28 million to add its two-week total to $119 million. And the funny thing is, this movie is tracking bigger than Frozen. But will it get Frozen numbers is another story. Doesn't seem to be doing too big overseas yet, but that could change. But Frozen did, like, kill overseas. And then the only other movie that matters in our opinion. No, there's a couple inside. Fantastic Beasts, I'll include that. That came in second place with another $18 million. And this third week is up to $183 million. And in fifth place, Doctor Strange, $6.4 million to add to its grand domestic total of $215 million. And Doctor Strange just keeps on chugging. And it's surprisingly one of the movies people are liking this year. So, and with Christmas coming, we got a lot of movies coming out in December, including the big one, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story. And that's going to probably shatter a lot of records except for the December record, because Force Awakens came out last year. So it'll be a miracle if it does better than Force Awakens, but you never know. So, with that out of the way, let's get to some television talk. And if you want to join me on Skype, all you got to do is add in SilverSurfer_Forever. And I will be happy to take you on Skype and discuss comics with you. Like this first caller. Good evening.
Good evening, Surfer.
This is Dr. Doom.
Going on. I had to throw some hate towards the Rogue One.
Why is that?
Mainly because of the actress. I don't even know her name, but I was reading the article.
Felicity?
Yeah.
I have no name, and now you're making me forget it. But what about her?
Well, I was talking with somebody earlier this week about she had the article talking about being underpaid. Isn't this like her breakout movie? Supposed to be?
No, I mean she was nominated for an Oscar not too long ago. In The Theory of Everything. So this is not like she's just out of nowhere. But as far as being underpaid, you know women get underpaid in Hollywood.
Sometimes. But the argument I was making about when Felicity I was talking Jones. With the other person was with the women was say like Jennifer Lawrence and The Rock. The Rock's made more movies than Jennifer Lawrence in the calendar year. So if he's getting $6 million a movie, but she's getting 10, but she only makes 4 movies and he makes, let's see.
That's not what's been happening. You brought it Jennifer Lawrence. This is what's been happening. The Rock, right now he makes a lot of money because he does a lot of movies. But in Jennifer Lawrence's case, she's like the star of a movie and she was being underpaid for what most people in the title role would get if they were a man. Like those Hunger Games movies, she got underpaid big time. Now, of course, when she took the role, she wasn't the big star she is now. But since then, she has also done other movies where she didn't get the top dollar that a man would get.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it just left a bad taste in my mouth, especially with, if I remember correctly from the first Star Wars movie. I'm not spoiling or nothing, but didn't they say that when they got the information that it came at a grave cost? When they're talking about the original Death Star plans.
Well, you might be thinking of when they got the second Death Star plans.
No, the first one. That's what I thought they said.
No, that was from Empire. I mean, Return of the Jedi, where they talked about the many Bottons who died to bring them to the second plans.
Okay, so is that where this one's supposed to be taking place?
No, this is the first Death Star.
So how did he get plans?
Well, I'm expecting this movie to be somewhat tragic. Not a lot of that cast is going to make it out alive.
Yeah. Now, I already know Forrest Whitaker's going to die.
Of course he's black. But if Felicity Jones' character, if she dies too, then, that just highlights the fact that this is going to be a very tragic movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not expecting nobody to live. And that's the whole thing about stuff, anything that you do between Revenge of the Sith and
New Hope.
You know, at some point, these people don't make it out alive because they're not part of New Hope. So and the ones that are, well, they're just like the woman who's like
Mom Mothra.
It's like she stays in a room somewhere. So that's the only reason why she don't die no time soon.
Was it Jimmy Smith's character dies when they blow up Alderaan?
Yeah, Bail Organa. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Hopefully they got Jar Jar Binks gets blowed up too. Well, you can only wish.
Yeah. So, did you watch any television this week?
No. I've been doing a lot of studying for work.
Oh, so let me tell you about the DC crossover that came out this week. Whole 3 hours and 1 minute of total crossover. And they kept advertising, starting with Supergirl. Mm-hmm. When Supergirl came on, it really didn't have anything to do with the crossover. Basically, Cadmus, with the help of Cyborg Superman, got into the Fortress of Solitude.
Okay.
And they got a Kryptonian bioweapon, which wipes out aliens. And now they're going to deploy it on the planet. And it will wipe out every alien, except for Supergirl and Superman, of course. So the
so would that kill the humans, right?
No, it won't kill the humans.
Oh, because if it was...
Just the other aliens.
Because I thought it was like humans would be aliens against the Kryptonians.
No. The Kryptonians came up with this weapon because they got used to getting invaded a lot. But, you know, I don't know why they thought to keep this information in the Fortress of Solitude.
Yeah.
So, the Martian Manhunter, he's kind of dying. But he's really changing because he got a blood transfusion from Miss Martian, not knowing she was really a white Martian. And it turns out if the white Martians give their blood to the green Martians, it'll turn the green Martians into white Martians. And that's how the white Martians wiped out the green Martians on Mars. They gave them some blood and turned them into white Martians. So that's, of course, offensive to Hank Henshaw. Now, Cadmus tested this this weapon in this bar that housed a lot of aliens and humans. So all the humans didn't die, but all the aliens did. And the only one that survived was Mon-El because he was outside when it went off and he ran back in. So he got affected a little bit. So they bring in Supergirl's Earth's stepmother, because she's a doctor, to come up with a cure. But they still have to stop Cadmus from releasing this bomb, and Cadmus is run by Lex Luthor's mom, who wants their daughter to give her a weapon from LexCorp that will allow the weapon to work properly. And the daughter agrees to it, and so Supergirl has to take on the cyborg Superman with the help of the dying green Martian, you know, Martian Manhunter. And in the end, of course, turns out that Luthor's daughter betrays the mom and disarmed the bomb. So when it did go off, nobody was killed. And Luthor's mom got arrested. And they found a cure for it. Mon-El and Martian Manhunter.
The question about the white Martians on there, do they have fire powers?
I don't know. I never learned about a white Martian until I started watching Young Justice.
Yeah.
Now, how this ties into the crossover was throughout the episode, there was a portal opening and closing.
Yeah.
And then at the end, it opened and Barry and Cisco came through, got in contact with Kara, said, "We need your help." And so they go to, you know, Barry's Earth. Meanwhile,
so they're not in the same universe?
No. Apparently, Supergirl's is on Earth 33.
Okay.
So on the Flash, so Barry gets together Team Arrow, the Legends of Tomorrow, and introduces up to Supergirl. Because aliens, what they call the Dominators, crash landed on Earth, and now they're out. They're running wild on the planet. So now you got all these heroes and a couple villains inside a warehouse that if you see from the outside, looks just like the Hall of Justice. You know the Hall of Justice, right?
So, what happened to Hall of Justice?
No, there's a Star Labs warehouse they were in, but on the outside, it looks like the Hall of Justice.
Okay.
So, they're like, who's in charge? And they're like, well, you know, Barry brought us together. Let's do it. But Cisco's like, no, I trust Oliver. Because Cisco's mad at Barry because, you know, Barry changed the timeline, which caused Cisco's brother to die. And so he's been holding against Barry ever since.
But have they reversed a lot of this stuff?
No, that's the Flashpoint. That's the thing, they can't. Like, they had the Flashpoint, and then he tried to fix it, And most things got fixed, but some things can't be fixed. Because, you know.
Like Caitlyn's turning to Killer Frost.
Yeah, like her having powers and stuff like that. So, now, one of the things that happened on Legends of Tomorrow, like last couple of weeks, were Jax and Martin Stein, they found this message inside of Rip Hunter's hidden room, and it was from the Flash from the future. And they listened to it, but they didn't tell their team. And so they played it for the Flash and Green Arrow. And the message said, yeah, this is Barry Allen from 10 years in the future. You're going to get called back on a mission. But when you come back, the timeline has changed because I messed up. Don't trust anything or anybody. Don't trust me. So they wasn't going to tell nobody until after the mission was over. But Cisco heard the tape, and then he outed Barry. So then Barry told everybody, yeah, I fucked up. I changed the timeline. Some of these lives are different. And Diggle found out he used to have a daughter instead of a son. And they thought it would be good practice to beat up on Supergirl to learn how to fight these aliens, because she's an alien herself. And then, when the president got abducted, they went to go rescue him. He gets killed anyway. And then everybody in the building gets mind control except for Oliver and Barry, because they weren't there. So now these two have to find a way to break their friends out of the mind control. And Oliver has to take on half the group by himself. And then Flash figures out, well, if I can get Supergirl to destroy the machine, then everybody will be free. He gets her to do that. Everything's cool. But then the Dominators transport 5 of the members with no powers up to their ship. And that's how Flash ended. Going into Green Arrow, it starts off with Oliver Queen getting married to
who's his girlfriend this year?
No, it's Black Canary. It's
okay. Oh, they got back because he didn't went through pretty much every woman
I mean, let me explain to you. So he's just a regular person. His mom and pop's alive. The big wedding day's coming up, but he has a feeling there's something wrong. And it's because they're all on the Dominator ship in some pods being fed some false hallucination. So in this episode is everybody that was captured, and they're living out their fantasy if their life was perfect scenario. And slowly they start realizing things are what they're supposed to be. Even Diggle, who for some reason in this fantasy world is the Green Arrow as opposed to Oliver. And then once they figure out what's going on, they have to escape this dream world. And what the episode is, it's supposed to be the 100th episode of Arrow. It, showed you a lot of members that aren't on the show no more, like I said, Black Canary and so on and so forth. And Roy. And all these other people, and it was like, yeah, you know. Look, man, if he wants to talk to me, I'll talk to him. Is that boy?
No, it's Little Doom. He's sitting there trying to walk.
Okay, well, just bring him on. Just, you know, we're having a conversation here. So, they eventually break out the mind control, but they're still on the ship, and they have to escape the ship. They do. They get rescued by the Wave Rider, which is the time ship that the Legends use.
Mm-hmm.
But while that was going on, of course, the rest of the Arrow members that's on the regular Arrow show, like Mr. Terrific and all that, and they're trying to find a way to find Oliver. And, you know, they go through their little side mission and they find a way to find Oliver. So that's how the Wave Rider is able to find them out in space.
Yeah.
And then they go into Legends. And now they have to take on the Dominators. And they know the Dominators wants to deploy some kind of weapon. And they figure out that this weapon is a meta bomb. Like, if the bomb goes off, it'll destroy all metahumans. And their problem is they see metahumans emerging on Earth as a threat. And their main reason why is because they know about Barry messing with the timeline. And they're like, well, if you turn over Barry, then we'll be cool. And, of course, there's some creepy government agents who trying to dick over the heroes, and then they were around in the 50s when the Dominators first attacked, because some of the members of the Legends went back in the past to capture a Dominator. And
what you say? So they're kind of like Men in Black kind of deal.
Yeah, but not even that. I mean, they not they just like the guy that was running the thing. He's just a jerk anyway, you know. So they get captured in the 50s along with the Dominator, but they learn they escape, and they wonder if they should help the alien escape, because he's being tortured to death. They help him escape, only to find out that he's like, yeah, you let me go 63 years ago, so I'm going to let you live, but if you don't turn on Barry Allen, all the metahumans are going to die. They're going to die anyway. So then Sisko comes to the realization about not being so hard on Barry, because it was his idea to help the alien escape, which didn't kind of cause their dilemma in the present anyway.
Yeah.
And then one of the things that went on throughout the show was certain people were showing they had problems with aliens. They had problems with metahumans with powers. And in the most dickish move of all, Oliver tells Supergirl, oh, I need you to hold back because I can't process this whole alien thing, and I need some normalcy.
What is normal about Oliver's life with the Damian Dark and Deathstroke and all those?
They didn't know there was aliens until this crossover.
What?
And I guess you know how Batman, even though he's friends with Superman, he still has a problem with him. Because he sees Superman is too powerful.
Yeah.
And like the biggest threat to the Earth. Well, that's probably the dick move Oliver was thinking.
So they're just still trying to make Oliver into TV's Batman.
Yeah, well, on their Earth, Barry is basically Superman and Oliver's basically Batman.
Yeah. I got a feeling... I just see this happening. Mm-hmm. They're going to do a crisis, and they're going to merge all the universes into one for the TV show.
Well, a lot of TV shows might not be around in the next couple of years. You never know.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying within the next year or so, because I think they're going to fully merge the Supergirl, you know.
But they could have did that with Flashpoint, and they didn't for some reason.
Well, yeah. But they might do a Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of deal.
I don't think so, because they might save Crisis for the movies.
I'm not a fan of the movies.
Well, there's only been a couple, so.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe Wonder Woman will change everything.
Maybe. That'll be it, but then it's going right back to Zack Snyder, so...
No. It's not going back to Zack Snyder. He's not guaranteed to do a second Justice League.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. After Wonder Woman movie, he's going to get another...
No, he was already assigned to Justice League, so they couldn't...
Yeah.
They couldn't go back on that. But that doesn't mean he's going to do a Justice League 2, or even another... That doesn't mean he's going to do another Man of Steel.
Yeah.
And maybe he'll do another Man of Steel, but I kind of think Zack Snyder is done as far as behind the camera. He might stay on as a producer or something to give him a bone. But I don't really think... the fans aren't happy with him, so fuck him. Yeah. Gotham had the winter finale, and it was a... They just find more ways to... disappoint, even though they do some good things too. Riddler was told, you know, Penguin killed your woman because he's in love with you, and he didn't believe it at first until he manipulated Penguin. It's like, yeah, you know, I think we should take this to the next level, and then Penguin kind of exposed himself. Yeah, I love you too, and he's like, no, I was just talking about being partners. So then he goes. And now he wants to destroy the Penguin, because that's how crazy Enigma is. But the main story was, Lee Thompson's fiance is infected with Alice's Tetch's blood, and he's going crazy. And he wants to fuck Jim over because he thinks that Lee still loves Jim. And she kind of does. But it's not like she loves him to the point where she wouldn't love him. Or and then she tells him, look, yeah, I still have feelings for him, but I love you. Well, we'll get married. But that's not good enough. So he sets out to make... Well, while he's doing that. So he sets out to make Jim Gordon look bad and make Jim Gordon look crazy in front of Lee, which it worked for some strange reason because James Gordon doesn't know how to subtly react towards things. And that's been one of his flaws on the show. So when they realize that he's infected with the virus and that Lee Thompson is in danger, he goes to dude's father, Falcone's like, where's your son at? And Falcone's like, look, I don't want my son hurt. And he promised him he wouldn't. But when Gordon got to their little beach home to, you know, rescue Lee, she was about to get stabbed from the back in the back. And he just shoots Falcone's son dead. But he drops the knife off the porch and into the water. So it'll just look like that Jim Gordon just came up and just shot dude for no reason. Because that's how it ended, where, like, you know, the knife floats into the water.
Yeah.
And so now, they always, like, this whole thing just makes Jim Gordon looks bad. Like, he's
not the good cop that he's right, portraying in the comics.
Like, he's hint, or he's not hint, he's not, you know, he's not properly
trained.
And it's just... And we didn't.
That show needs a mercy killing, what she said?
No, because apparently it's still a popular show. Regardless of what a lot of people think, there's a lot of people still watching. And I have a friend, he just says, look, it's just an alternate. It's not. It's an alternate version to Batman, which, okay, I can accept that. But I need some consistency in the rules of things. And I just think, one, making Jim Gordon look like he's not a good cop is not the way to go.
Yeah.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. came back on after a couple weeks, and it looked like Coulson and Fitz and Ghost Rider were dead because they got zapped by this energy source, which put them in this in-between place and being dragged to hell. And Ghost Rider, not wanting to go to hell,
yeah,
takes over Mac's body to get his revenge on Ghost Rider's uncle, who now has the power to create things with his mind because he used the Darkhold. After everybody kind of figures out that Coulson are not dead, they're like, let's use the Darkhold. And Coulson's like, tried to tell them, never open that book.
Yeah.
But there's a life model decor in the show, and they're like, well, she can do it. And they let her look at the book, and she finds a way to opening up a portal to rescue everybody. But now I think the book has affected her, because at the end of the show, she's doing shit she shouldn't be doing. Now, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know yet.
Did her eyes, like, change color or something?
No, it was like she was recreating a brain with these tools.
Okay, so she's gonna get like her own AI.
Yeah, and I saw the clip for next week, and the new director S.H.I.E.L.D., when he finds out about this woman being an android, he's like, "Well, isn't that's supposed to be illegal? Because that's part of the Sokovia Accords. Like, no more making artificial life forms because of Ultron."
Yeah,
which is why I should have figured this out weeks ago. Why, when they first introduced us to Android, half the people was freaking out. It was like, oh, you gotta keep this a secret. And I should have known it had to have been because of Ultron.
Yeah.
So. And next week will be season finales for all the comic book shows left. Flash, Arrow, Supergirl. And so, that's it for TV talk.
Yeah, did you talk about the Guardians trailer?
I'm about to talk about that now. Oh. And that came out, was it yesterday or was it Friday?
I think it was Friday.
That was yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
The fate of the universe no, lies
Friday,
on your shoulders.
We were talking about last night.
No, it came out yesterday. I remember. It came out yesterday. But here we go. Listen to this part. I'm just going to play a second.
Now, whatever you do, don't push this button. Because that will set off the bomb immediately and we'll all be dead. Now, repeat back what I just said.
I am Groot.
No! Now that's the button that will kill everyone! Try again.
I am Groot.
Mm-hmm.
I am Groot.
Uh-huh.
I'm Groot.
No!
Oh, I've watched that trailer quite a few times because it's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't hear it, but yeah, I seen the trailer.
Oh, I gotta fix my Skype then or something. I was playing the where Rocket was telling Groot not to push the button.
Yeah, and he runs off into the tunnel.
No. Well, first he goes, "Now repeat that back," and he goes, "I am Groot." And he points at the button. He's like, "No, I told you not to push the button." Try it again. I am Groot. Uh-huh. I am Groot. Uh-huh. And then he points the button. I am Groot. And he's like, no. But that's like one of the funniest things I've seen. Of course, it doesn't tell you much of a story except for, because it's kind of a teaser trailer, too. Yeah. Apparently, they take on some creature. Now, I don't think that's going to be late in the movie. I think that's going to be early. Because you see Drax inside the creature stabbing it. And Gamora jumping around, and Star-Lord going out in space and flying ships and being chased on each side and making them fight each other. And you see Ravagers get blown up. And then near the end of the trailer, they introduce Mantis. You know Mantis?
Yeah, she's in the comics. She's like a telepath.
Right, and she's like telling Star-Lord, like, yeah. I can read your thoughts. She touches him. It's like you have love. He's like, yeah, I have general love for him. No, sexual love for her. And then Drax just cracked me up. He's like, yeah. Somebody, she exposes deep dark secrets. That was just so hilarious.
Yeah, and Drax's reaction. Do me next.
Yeah. I thought it was funny in the first trailer. But Drax is like, when they're talking about him liking, Star-Lord's talking about liking Gamora, and Drax is like, you just need somebody pathetic, like yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think this is going to be the second biggest movie of the year. Nothing's going to beat out the Star Wars that's coming out next year, but this is going to be a close second, because people are going to go crazy over it. And then one of the things I like was seeing Baby Groot on top of a Rocket's shoulder.
Yeah, when they were shooting the guy. Yeah.
Now, do you like the fact that they're using Baby Groot more than they're using regular Groot?
Yeah, but I think Baby Groot might grow into a regular Groot.
Yeah, I think he'll grow near the end to being a regular Groot. But they want to sell those toys, and people do like that Baby Groot.
Yeah, especially it's going to be a Baby Groot dance number, probably.
Oh, I don't know. You think so?
Oh, yeah. That was the reason it was selling so much, was the dancing group.
Oh, okay. Well, so this time he'll be dancing outside the pot.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, the last trailer was good, but this one is great.
Yeah.
And, I gotta give it up to Batista, man. He really plays his role as Drax well.
Yeah.
Which is why
it fits him.
Which is why you don't see him wrestling no more. That's why he left, because y'all kept teasing about his skinny jeans and.
Well, them skinny jeans had a class 3 blowout. You know, you blow your crotch out on national TV.
Yeah, this is gonna make about I'm just guessing at this point. It's gonna make at least $170 million opening weekend.
Yeah, because it's the first superhero movie to come out on the next quarter. Was it like March or May?
No, this is coming out in May, but Old Man Logan comes out before then.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be rated R. I don't know how much it's going to make money, but...
So was Deadpool, and that made over $150 million.
But, you know, if it's too violent, a lot of the kids' parents might not take the kids to see.
Did you see Deadpool?
Yes, I have it on Blu-ray.
Right. So that wasn't too violent?
No, I mean, it was violent. Well, I'm saying I don't think a lot of people took their kids to watch it. That's what I'm saying.
Right, but still, it still made a lot of money. It's opening weekend.
I know.
I don't think Logan's going to make that, but it's not. If it doesn't, it's not because it's rated R, because Deadpool proved you can have a rated R movie and make a boatload of money.
Yeah. But it was also funny, too.
And besides, in this day and age, kids can get into an R-rated movie with no problem.
Oh, I know, it's the parents and stuff now, because I remember going to see RoboCop when I was a kid, original.
I'm just saying, like, okay, when I was a kid, the only reason why I got into R-rated movie under the age of 18, because I was tall, and, you know, I wasn't skinny, so I looked, and I had hair on my face, so I looked like I was over 18. But kids don't need to lie about their age. They just go and buy a PG ticket, and then they're in a multiplex.
So they just go in there and watch it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So that also helps other movies make money, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to hop off for a little bit. I might call back in a little bit later.
Okay.
But I got to do dadly duties.
You said duties.
All right. Have a good night.
All right, that was Dr. Doom. You know what came out this week? Pictures of Alpha 5 from the Power Rangers movie. And I think the early word is people do not like the look. I don't know. It looks kind of like an alien more than a robot. He got these big bub for eyes. But with most pictures, it's best to see it in action than just to see a flat image. And I don't have a dog in this fight either way about Power Rangers. You know, whether I want... I mean, I hope it's a good movie so I can see something enjoyable. But, you know, I didn't grow up watching Power Rangers because it was past my time. And I mean, I've seen it, watch episodes, but I didn't get engrossed by it. But this Alpha 5 thing, I don't know what to say about it. It doesn't look like it's... it looks more like it can kick ass more than it can give information on how to help the Rangers. But who knows? Marvel Inhumans come up with a date for their premiere of the television show for ABC, and one second. Of course, you know it's going to premiere in IMAX first before it comes on TV, and it's going to premiere on television Tuesday, September 26th, and it's expected to run 8 consecutive episodes, which are set the finale for Tuesday, November 14th, so it's not going to be a big show, but maybe they'll be able to take those episodes and use the budget they would on a movie to make these shows look theater quality. Because a lot of times with TV shows, the special effects they don't put as much money into special effects on a television show as they do as a movie, because the profit's not the same. But maybe in this case that will happen. I just hope that they get the royal family right and they don't keep out the royal family. And let's get into some Batman news. Apparently, there's been a couple of people to play Harvey Dent on the big screen. And there's been a couple of those people who played Two-Face. But the one person who played Harvey Dent but didn't get his chance to play Two-Face was Billy Dee Williams. Now, he played Harvey Dent in the 1989 Batman film. And he was originally supposed to play Harvey Dent at some point, but then they decided to go with Tommy Lee Jones. Of course, you're supposed to forget that Harvey Dent was Billy Dee back in the day. But now Billy Dee's finally getting his due, because he will play Harvey Dent in the upcoming Lego Batman movie. You know what? We talked about Logan coming out. I think Lego Batman movie is going to be the first comic book movie of 2017. And we're all looking forward to that, because it's Batman, it's Lego, it's from the same people that gave us the Lego movie, and the trailers look fantastic. But I'm glad Billy Dee, you know, who taught me how to be smooth, drink Colt 45, and get the ladies, it's getting his due as a Two-Face. And so, good for you, Billy Dee. You're still working out there. Now, I don't know how many of you like the DC animated movies that come out from time to time. I enjoy most of them for the most part. I don't think they're all great, but then most of them are good. And of course, there's going to be a Teen Titans movie based on the Judas Contract. And a poster for the Teen Titans Judas Contract was posted on Twitter. Now, the Judas Contract was from Teen Titans number 42 to 44 plus the number 3 annual. And it says, the Judas Contract brings together a long brewing threat involving Deathstroke Contract to deliver the Titans to the villainous organization Hive. And the betrayal of a team, a new member Terra, who was working with the mercenary from the very beginning. The arc also marks the debut of Dick Grayson as Nightwing. So that's when he got rid of the little tight shorts and came out with the big collar Nightwing suit, which he still basically wears Nightwing board out the big collar. But this was the late 70s, early 80s, so, you know, they thought it was a good idea to give him a big collar to his costume. And, of course, because Robin, Dick Grayson, he was tired of being under Batman's shadow, and he wanted to step out and be his own man, so he became Nightwing. And of course, when you work for Batman, you start getting older. At some point, you got to tell Batman to fuck off, because he don't treat you as a partner; he treats you as a sidekick. Which means it's time to move out the mansion and get your own city. And you take some of Batman's money, because he gave it to you when he adopted you, and you do your thing as your own superhero. And once in a while, you can come back and help Batman. Now, of course, we're a couple months away from Oscars. And probably in the next month or so, we'll get some nominations for different categories in the Oscars. Now, one of the things is, of course, advances in visual effects. And there's a lot of movies that are being considered. Now, for our purposes, I'll tell you the ones that are comic book related. Batman v Superman, Captain America Civil War, Deadpool, Doctor Strange, Fantastic Beasts, Independence Day Resurrection, Jungle Book, Kubo and the Two Strings, Mrs. Peregrine Home for Particular Children, which I still haven't seen yet, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, Star Trek Beyond, Suicide Squad, Warcraft, and X-Men Apocalypse. And overall, there's about 20 movies are being looked at for a nomination for Best Visual Effects. Now, this is just me guessing. But the movies they'll go with, They're going to go with Rogue One. They're probably going to go with Passengers. Of course, they haven't come out yet. They're definitely going to go with The Jungle Book. And they might throw in Fantastic Beasts. I don't know if any of the comic book movies will make this list. Now, I was in the through the looking glass on this list, and nobody really liked that movie, but they still might give it a bone. But I think they won't give the comic book movie any love. Now, if you was to ask me today which of these 20 movies I'm looking at, and I got the article posted on my Facebook page of What Are You Reading Comic Book Show, if you want to find it quickly. I think they're going to go for The Jungle Book. That just seemed like one of those movies that is a Disney movie. A lot of people liked it. And it's nice. It's not, you know, it's not geeky or nerdy. So the Oscar voters may give it some respect. But we'll see. We will see. Are you people waiting on an Aquaman movie? I know you're waiting on an Aquaman movie. Because he's the king of the seven seas. Be honest. Aquaman is coming into the theaters in October of 2018. So Aquaman made his Superman debut early this year via a short cameo on Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. The character would next be seen in a major role in Zack Snyder's directed follow-up to Justice League, which sees the major hero of the DC Universe united to face off against the villain Steppenwolf. Aquaman standalone film stars Jason Momoa as Aquaman, a.k.a. Arthur Curry, King of Atlantis, alongside Amber Heard as Mare, Queen of Atlantis, in the comics and likely to fill the same role here. And you haven't seen much of Aquaman other than this one picture they keep putting up, him holding a trident. And then the last time you really saw him was in the last Justice League trailer, but you haven't seen him in action yet. So, for all we know, he could be as lame as the Super Friend version of Aquaman, where all he does is smile and tell the fish to go do his bidding, and then he doesn't really throw many punches. Which is why people will take Aquaman as a joke today, because the Super Friends didn't know what to do with him. And the Super Friends, as much as we love watching that cartoon growing up, it did make Wonder Woman look bad, too. There's not much news to report this week, so this is going to be pretty much a short show. Just making sure... Oh. Stop. All you Transformer fans, there's going to be two more Transformer Prime War series coming to TV. You know, I've been catching up the old Transformers in the morning. It comes on Discover Family at 6 a.m. in the morning. And I'm enjoying myself rewatching these shows I haven't seen in such a long time. And Megatron and Starscream fighting each other. And Autobots messing up because they don't pay attention. It says, following the conclusion of Transformer Combiner Wars, Machinima and Hasbro have announced today that they will join forces to develop Titans Return and Power of the Primers, the final two installments of the animated Prime Wars trilogy. Since launching the trilogy first installment in August 2016, I need to catch up then. Transformer Combiner Wars had garnered more than 120 million global views on a wide variety of platforms, including Go 90, Sky Q, AMC Umbrella, I messed that word up, and Sohu, which is in China, and YouTube for the rest of the world. The global fan base has really embraced the vision of the Transformer, said Machinima CEO Chad Gustin. And we are thrilled to be working closely with Hasbro in developing the next two installments of the series. Well, I got a lot of catching up to do. I didn't know it came out already. I really want to see it. So, all these Transformers fans, you know, it's never going away. It's Transformers. What it meets the eye. Now, I don't know if I talked about this last week, but Kevin Smith wants to do a Buckaroo Banzai remake. Well, now Buckaroo Banzai is having legal troubles with MGM. And so because of that, Kevin Smith has decided he's done with doing the Buckaroo Banzai TV series. Because he just don't want to put up with the involvement of the lawsuit against the original creators by MGM. But if you want old TV shows to come back, I got one for you. Sigmund the Sea Monster is coming back. Yes, I know. You don't know much about Sigmund the Sea Monsters, and I know you don't believe in Sigmund. You don't believe in sea monsters. But Sigmund was a sea monster that came out to sea and befriended these kids. And, of course, they keep him hidden in the garage. But there are other sea monsters who want to know where the hell Sigmund is. And that's basically what the show's about. It was a Sid and Marty Krofft production. It was for children 6 to 11. And it came on Saturday mornings in the 70s. And I don't know what they think or why kids today would like Sigmund and Sea Monsters. But we'll see. We'll keep open mind. I know it won't be for me, so I won't spend time watching it other than maybe seeing a pilot episode just to see if it's any good or not. Other than that, you know, I'll let the kids have that one. Because that's what they deserve to have something. I got some bad news. The Walking Dead's ratings are dropping badly. Slipping away little by little. It said last week, Tale Focus episode AMC drama The Walking Dead pulled a 10.4 million viewers, the lowest since season 3, and starting to decline from nearly series high 17 million that tuned in a month earlier for the heavily promoted season 7 premiere. Although audiences were glued to the screen to the last to learn the identity of Negan's victims, once the cliffhanger was resolved, ratings began to steadily decline. Well, that's basically they gave you a lot up front, and now I know a lot of people don't like the fact that when they tune in all the time, they're not getting the zombie death they was hoping for. They think there's always should be zombie attacks all the time and people dying. Well, if you do that, then your show runs out real quickly. And then second, you can't see one of the reasons why I can stomach watching it, because it's not always just zombie kills, zombie kills, zombie kills. If that was the case, I wouldn't watch it. Now, you could probably get that with Z Nation if you want to see zombie kill people all the time, or people kill the zombies. Excuse me, I had to take a sip. But, you know, we'll see. There's a lot of people complain about Walking Dead, but they still don't go away. It's still one of the most watched television shows on cable. So maybe people need to shut up. Now, I don't know why this is news, and it came out today, and I thought we already knew this, but of course Marvel and Netflix have confirmed there will be a season 2 of Luke Cage, which would make sense since it is one of the most watched Netflix shows of the year, so then why wouldn't they do a season 2? And then once he gets out of jail and he helps everybody with the Defenders, now he's still got to take on Black Mariah, and we still need him to team up with Iron Fist. And there's a lot we need to see, so yeah, season 2 of Luke Cage, I'm for it. Why wouldn't I be? I think that's all the news. I'll check a website real quick and see if something came up as of late. It says George Lucas really likes Rogue One, which is good. Oh, keep out for the Transformers The Last Night trailer. It's coming out tomorrow. And it ain't going to show you much, but still, we finally going to get something to look at as far as this new Transformer movie, which is going to make a lot of money, regardless of what I or anybody else says, because it's idiot-proof. There's a lot of Transformer fans out there, and then the average person, all they see is explosions, and they like that shit. So, it's going to make money. And there should be some Jumanji pictures coming out soon, starring Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. Because, you know, they're going to heavily push that. Oh, Doctor Strange did pass Iron Man 2 at the global box office. So it's not one of the lower end movies. It's a movie that's making a lot of money worldwide. And that franchise is only going to get bigger, because with most Marvel, there hasn't been a Marvel franchise that the sequel made less money than the original. And Guardians 2 is going to prove that to be true, because that's going to make a boatload of money. It's not even going to be funny. It's not going to catch a... Well... Nah, I just lied. I'm sorry. I don't know what I'm talking about. It was a case where one movie, the original, made more than the sequel, but not by much. The original Avengers movie did make more money than Age of Ultron. But Age of Ultron came very close to catching the original Avengers movie, so I wouldn't call that a decline in a way. I'm sorry. My bad. Anyway. So it's 6 p.m. Eastern time. But if you come back in an hour or stick it around the chat room, there's going to be more shows here on Rant EM Radio, because at 7 p.m. there will be the pre-show for the WWE. Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, hosted by Phil Rayer and Tony C, and I'll be on the call, and we'll give our predictions of who's going to win the matches tonight and learn you about some wrestling, and then we'll be back at 11 for the post show. And there are other fine shows here on Rant EM Radio. Come back Tuesday for The Rant, and that's at 8 p.m., Wednesdays, you get episodes of Thumbstick Ninjas. Thursdays is Rant Wrestling at 9. Fridays, you get Turnbuckle Throwbacks at 9. And then Saturday nights at 11, the Wrestling Call-In Show. And then I'll be back on Sunday at 5 p.m. for another episode of What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. And then in the coming weeks, we'll have another WWE pay-per-view. And on the 17th will be our second annual Star Wars Christmas special, where we'll discuss Rogue One, a Star Wars story, because at that point most of you would have seen it. I got my ticket for the first showing in IMAX, and I might even see it before that comes out, because, you know, I got it like that. And what else did I want to say? Sorry. Oh, and of course, we'll be going off the air soon for the holidays. And on the 18th, I will do my annual listing of the top comic book movies of 2016. Plus, because there were so many, I will do a list of animated films this year also. Now, there's been so many, I didn't see them all, but I did see a good amount of them, so I will go through a list of what ones I thought was the best and which ones were the worst, and I hope you tune in, or better yet, join me on Skype and discuss these things with me. So... Since I have nothing else to talk about, I'm going to go off the air and disappear from this reality. Because when I'm not on the air, I don't exist. But if you want to keep in contact with me, you can follow me on Twitter at SilverSurfer4, F-O-R. You can friend me on Facebook. Look for Jimmy Harvey. Now, that is not my real name. That is my alias, because they won't let me use Silver Surfer. But I will take your friend request, and we can discuss comic books on Facebook. And then also, you can join my What Are You Reading Facebook page, where I'll keep you up to date with all the news from the comic book world for both print, television, and movies. And so with that, I thank you for listening as always, and we'll see you again soon. Until then, everybody, have a good evening. I'm out. Peace.